did, we could be baptized and Jesus would not have had to die. All we'd had to be done was just be baptized. But it took the blood of Christ to put away the filth of the flesh, that is sin. But when we obey God, we have a good conscience. When we disobey God, we have a bad conscience. And I think I can speak that from experience. When I was young and rebellious and knew I was doing wrong, my conscience bothered me. And with a stiff neck, I'd go on anyway. But when I was a full 30 years old, if I'm not deceived, the Lord made the burden so heavy, I surrendered. And I'm so thankful that He made the burden so heavy, I couldn't bear it. I called upon His name. And my life has been different ever since. But when it says the earth is corrupt and all flesh had corrupted its way, I think I can testify to just what was going on. Rebellion and the love of sin is just as natural to the natural man as breathing is because of sin. But grace is able to give us a new life, a new beginning. The grace of God, when He calls, the scripture says that those that He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Jesus, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those that He predestinated, He called. That's where the quickening comes in. Just as many as the Lord Father has given the Son in the everlasting covenant, He foreknew them. And He predestinated them. He has predetermined their destiny. And that destiny is to be with Jesus because He has purchased them with His own blood and redeemed them from the curse of the law and from the condemnation and the wrath of God, which we read about here. That flood was a big testimony of the wrath of God that's going to break upon this world again one day. And so the grace of God is sufficient. So Noah was told, commanded to build the ark to the saving of his household. Noah was a type of Christ. The ark is a type of Christ. We read of there's three arks mentioned in the New Testament, in the Bible. And this is the first ark, the one that Noah built to the saving of his house. And when the wrath of God broke upon the world, the ark saved Noah and his family. Noah and his family was in the ark. We are in Christ. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And if a man says he's in Christ and he lives in sin, there's something wrong there. Now, we all sin, and sometimes we stumble and some commit grosser sins than others, but the man that's in Christ wants to live right. He wants to do right. He's still a sinner, and he stumbles and falls sometimes. There's no doubt about that. But a man that lives in sin and loves it like I did when I was in the world, there's something wrong there, beloved. It just don't bear out. And man tells me, God makes him sin, I'm scared of that man. But anyway, Noah was a type of Christ. Noah saved his house. He didn't lose one of them. Every one of them came through the flood. Christ is going to save his house. He has saved them. He's already justified them. He died for them. And he shed his blood for them. He covered them. Noah said that when he built the ark, to pitch it within and without with pitch. Pitch is tar. And the ark was covered inside and out with tar so that it wouldn't leak. And so atonement, the word atonement just means covering. And so Christ has covered us. He has provided for us a covering, just like he did for Adam and Eve when they sinned. Adam and Eve tried to cover up themselves with fig leaves, and it wouldn't work. It wasn't sufficient. And the works of man cannot save him. We cannot save ourselves by our works. By grace are you saved, and that not of through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And so the Lord slew an animal, and what he said, the Lord made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. And to do that, he had to slay an animal. So death, somebody had to die, that Adam and Eve could be covered, their nakedness could be hid. And that was a type of Christ right off the bat. And so Christ, the tar was a covering, pitch. And it saved them that was in the ark. And so the blood of Christ saves us. We're in Christ, and the blood of Christ justifies us from the wrath of God, the curse of the law. And it will safely deliver us. If we are chosen in Christ, called in Christ, been born again, put in Christ by the grace of God, then we're just like Noah and his family in the ark. We'll come through the flood. When it's all over, the Lord's going to present us. He said, here am I and the children that thou hast given me, and he will not have lost one of them. Not one of them. And some you know, say, well, what about those that are lost? And they claim that we preach a doctrine and preaching predestination and election and those things that we exclude people that want to be saved. And that's the way they see it. They say, oh, you say there's a little group out here that's been predestinated and they're saved, and all these other people over here wanting to be saved and trying to get in and can't get in because they're not predestinated. And, of course, that's utter nonsense. The truth of the matter is, man left in his sins doesn't want to be saved. he wants to be saved from trouble and from floods and that sort of thing. He don't want to go to hell, that's for sure. But he don't want to go to heaven and be with God either, because God is holy and you can't sin there. And you can't satisfy the lust of the flesh there. And so man will not, Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. And that's not because he's keeping them from it. On the contrary, he says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and are heavy laden. But something's got to make you burdened and heavy laden over sins and wanting to love righteousness and to get out of the world and its filth and come to Christ, who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. And a man that loves sin and lusts to live in sin don't want to go sit down in the house of somebody that's holy and undefiled. And so the truth of the matter is that the human race is lost. If God didn't do nothing, if he never predestinated nobody or elected anybody, we'd all be lost, because we all were born in sin, conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, the scripture says. So that's our condition. We're under the curse of the law. But thank God we have an ark of safety. Jesus, our suffering Savior. And so, and Noah did all that God commanded him as another type of Christ. Noah did all that God commanded him. And he built the ark, put a door in it, just one door in the ark. Christ says, I'm the door. There is no other door. Just one door in the ark. He told him to put a window in the upper stories of it, which means we're to look up. We're to look up to God, to Christ, for our deliverance, for our hope, for everything that we need here. We're to look to Him and to praise Him and worship Him for it. We're not to look to the princes of this earth. And the ark had three stories in it. We're composed of a body, a soul, and a spirit. We more time it says it was hundreds of years before men really realized that a boat could be as big as the dimensions here given and float. But it said, according to the, it is the ideal size for a boat to navigate in the open ocean. That this dimensions given here is the ideal size of a boat. But nevertheless, it says that Noah, the Lord told, says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God didn't say go into the ark. He said come thou into the ark. And this is the first time that word come is used in the Bible. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. The Lord was in the ark with Noah. He didn't just put him in there and shut him up and forget about him. But he said, come thou in the ark. I thought that was precious. It says, in the 600th year, Noah's life, in the seventh month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, I just found out in reading this, time, I don't know how many times I've read it, that they went in the ark 7 days before the rain started. They were shut up in the ark seven days before the rain started. And I don't know the full significance of that, but except that the just shall live by faith. Before Noah's day, it never had rain. Don't forget that now. It didn't rain like it rains now. It was only when everything changed that brought about that flood. I don't know how it brought about. There's a lot of speculations about that, about planets. Strange planets and comets coming in the atmosphere and all that, but I don't know what caused it, but the Lord caused it and told it to rain, and the fountains of the deep was broken up. But it rained 40 days and 40 nights, but Noah went in the ark and all the animals, and they were shut up in there 7 days before the rain started. And then it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Those 7 days, seven is the number of perfection. Well, a lot of animals and a lot of rooms and a lot of nests, I think I read that, it said when he built the ark, he was to build rooms. The same word is meant to nest, like a bird builds. And so Christ said that in my house, in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. And we have here a place for those animals. They got adjusted those 7 days. I figure they got adjusted. The animals, like they was going to have to be in order to stay in that ark for a year. They were in there a solid year, well, a little more than a year. It was a year to the day that the ark rested. It said, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. It says, over here, it says, and the ark, and God remembered Noah and every living thing, all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. So after 7 months, the ark rested, but it goes on and tells that it was another, I don't have time to read it, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark which he had made, and the raven went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were off the face of the earth. But the dove found no resting for the sole of her feet. And she returned unto him into the ark, and the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, pulled her into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came into him, and in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month and the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the 20th day of the month was the earth dried, and God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. This ark, as we were, I don't think I've ever finished about the other two arks, but this ark kept God's, saved Noah and his family from the flood, from the wrath of God. Moses' mother, you know, made a little ark for Moses. And Pharaoh had given a commandment that all the male children should be killed. And when Moses was born, she said his mother saw that he was a proper child. And she made a little ark and put him afloat. The rivers of the Nile River must have been a little cove at the temple, where the temple was built, for Pharaoh's daughter come out and bathed in the bay water there, or the backwaters of the Nile River, no doubt. And the little ark floated up there where she saw it. And Moses' sister, Miriam, was watching. She was hiding in the bulrushes. And when Pharaoh's daughter found the ark, it said Moses began to cry. I read it said, a tear saved the Israelitish nation. A tear saved that nation, because Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on the baby and took it. And Miriam came up and said, do you want me to go get a nursing mother for the child? And she said, yes. So she went and got Moses' mother. And so Moses and Moses' mother was brought up in the temple while Pharaoh's daughter raised up Moses until he was 40 years old. Then he thought it not, he loved not the pleasures of sin for a season. He thought it more profitable to be with the Israelites than to love pleasures of sin for a season. He left the temple and the Egyptians and became identified with the Israelites. But that was the second ark. So in that ark, by that ark, we see that we are preserved from the assaults of Satan. Pharaoh in the scriptures is a type of Satan. Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh was ruler of that world at that time, so he is a type of Satan. Satan is the god of this world, the scripture says. And so here we see the world and the ruler of the world, and that little ark, and he, the ruler of that world, had commanded for Moses to be killed. But that ark saved Moses from the assaults of Satan. And then the other ark was after Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He went up on the mountain. He received instructions from God on how to build the tabernacle and how to build the Ark of the Covenant that went into the tabernacle. A little box and had a golden lid over it. It was covered with gold, made out of wood, representing the humanity of Christ, and then covered with gold, representing the deity of Christ. And in that box, in that Ark of the Covenant, after they began to travel, was a golden pot with manna in it, and two tablets of the law that Moses, that God had written with his own finger and given to Moses on the top of the mount. And Moses' rod, staff, which was his sign of authority, it was in the ark. And so we see that this third ark, that we are preserved from the curse of the law. That tablets being in the ark there. And the tablets pronounces a curse on everyone, every soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so in the arks, we've seen that we are preserved by the ark. We are preserved from the wrath of God. We are preserved by the assaults of God. And we are preserved by the curse of the law. And so these arks are wonderful testimonies of the grace and mercy of God. So this ark, the thing that after the flood was over, and Noah said, took the covering off of the ark after he had been assured by the dove that came back with a leaf in its mouth. And God told Noah, and God remembered Noah and every living thing. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto him, they'll be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. So this is just about the same thing God told Adam when he created Adam. And said, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, and into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as a green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. For surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. Will I require it, and at the hand of every man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall this blood be shed. Here's where we get capital punishment from. People say we should not kill another man. But this has never been recast in any other form in the New Testament. It's never been refuted in any way. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. That's why that a man that kills another man, he forfeits his own life, because he's made in the image of God. And be ye, and you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundant in the earth. And what I want to get to here is that, and Noah said in the bow, but when they came out of the ark, Noah said, I put my bow in the cloud, and the bow shall be in the clouds, and I will look upon it, that I may remember every living covenant, I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And and as soon as Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar, and he offered one of each of the clean beasts as a sacrifice to God. That's the first thing he did. Can you imagine that? You'd think he'd be busy building my house, wouldn't you? Building my place to live. But the first thing he did was build an altar. He sacrificed an animal, which tells us that the way to God, the only way to God, is through sacrifice. The innocent dying for the guilty. Of course, that brings us to Christ, the promised Savior. It was promised from the very beginning. The grace of God manifested in man is such that shook his fist and was in his face, rebelled against him. And yet, man has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He has sent his own son to atone for him. And he has provided, just as he provided for Noah and his family. And everything that Noah received was a revelation too. Noah didn't just discover this on his own. It was revealed to him. God said it. And to Christ is a revelation to the soul as an atonement for sin. For the soul that turns from sin and cast your life, your eternity, all that you have into the hands of Christ, has to be a revelation from the Lord. It's something that comes from being Christ being in you, the hope of glory. Christ being revealed to you for who he really is. I'd heard about Christ all my life. I was brought up in the church. And I always believed there was a man named Jesus. I never doubted that. But I was 430 years old before I realized who Jesus was. When we don't.
It's when I was sick, so sick, that I began to see Jesus for what he really is. A savior for sinners. A soul sick sinner.
When I got sick, I needed a savior. I needed a physician. Jesus is a savior. He's everything that a sin sick soul needs. Everything about the Bible. He is the answer for our problem. He is not just for this world, but for the world to come. He's going to not only deliver us through the trials and tribulations in this world, but he's going to deliver us into that other world. because that was God's plan from the beginning. And those that he foreknew, we've already quoted. And when Adam and Eve sinned, beloved, that opened the door for a bunch of other people. God said, I'll multiply your conception. He told Adam, he said, you're going to eat the sweat of your brow and so forth. But when sin entered in, the door was open for more than the covenant children of God. Christ, we read in the 24th chapter of Matthew, I believe it is, so they all gathered around him in that great day, and they said, Lord, we have done many wonderful works in thy name. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. You're not in the company. You're not given to God in the everlasting covenant. Paul said, may the God of all grace that brought again, the God of all peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. God's made a covenant, just like he made with Noah, he made one with his son. Just like with Noah, he'll deliver every one of them. Not one of them will be lost, will safe in the ark. May God add his blessings to his precious word is our prayer. What shall we sing? When we publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members, if there's one or more here today that's never publicly declared your faith in Christ, that you're looking to him as your Savior to deliver you from the wrath of God, from the assaults of Satan, from the curse of the law, well then we'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together here today. Number 202 in the red book. We'll start the glad hands of fellowship as we sing. Sing when you're ready.
Yeah. be our light and warmth, as our strength and weakness, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name.